So as we go into our final week now, talking ecclesiology, which has been the study of the church series that I've been going on the last few weeks, perfect Sunday, I thought, to end it on the church local. That's this right here. What's around us on New Member Sunday, where we have new members that come into our church fold, if you will. You know, you remember this started off a couple weeks back talking about the kingdom of God. And before you can talk about the church, you have to understand what the kingdom of God is. Because the church, in essence, is an agent for the kingdom of God. Thus, we can now know our role within serving in the kingdom of God. Last week, talking about the church universal. That's not just the building. That's the church outside this building. That's the whole church of true believers in Jesus Christ. That is the church universal, where denominational differences don't matter. Instead, it is a group of believers that truly understand what it means that we are saved through God's grace alone, received through faith in Jesus Christ alone. That's what makes up the church universal. The little stuff aside, it's all believers that have their faith and hope truly in Jesus Christ. But today I do want to look at the church local. That's us folks here at Hope Free Lutheran Church. If you are sitting here today, this is applicable to you. This is not meant for the six members that we just took in right now and all the rest of you can snooze like you normally do. That's how you can always tell who the new members are. They still pretend they have to be awake. Okay, I got to act interested. The rest of you, I mean, Diane brought her pillow this morning. She's like, all right, Pastor, tell me when you're done. Did you say I really do fall asleep? This sermon's needed for you today, huh? Please rise for the reading of our sermon text. Diane, you just stay standing. That'll help keep you awake, all right? Yeah. Our sermon text today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 28. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. You may be seated. How great was that little text right there if you heard it? Nice little one sentence, clean little text. And that text there, I understand, to put it in fair context, was directed at the elders of the church. But it's applicable to all. And it really does apply to all. First off, with the caution to be careful of your own behaviors. Now, for elders of a church, that's essential. I don't think there's greater damage that's done to a church or anything that stands for something, and that those who lead the charge and what it stands for when they fall in a way that goes against the values they supposedly stood on. Boy, is that damaging to the church. But it's not just the elders. This is for all of us. To make the world know that you are a follower of Jesus Christ means I live for Jesus Christ, and I live differently because of it. It is an important thing to remind yourself of, because temptation is constantly eating at us, constantly wearing away at us. And when we fall, it discredits the work of others that stay on the right path. But then after that charge about look after yourselves, it's then look after the whole flock. And that's such a beautiful picture of the church when it's all of us looking out for one another, caring for one another in all the many different ways. And we all know this, life isn't particularly easy. We have highs, we have lows. Sometimes the lows are really low, and isn't it nice to know that you have this whole family here that is looking out for you and cares for you and is willing to come walk with you alongside your journeys? I mean, these are people here around you that are saying, I am willing to walk with you through life struggles. Usually when things get tough, people flee. But here at the church, when the church local is done right, we flock to you. We help each other stay on path. Whether life circumstances are difficult and life gets hard, we walk with you. Sometimes life's hard because you're making poor choices. That's where we step in. We want to walk with you, but we also correct you on that. And listen, nobody here likes getting correction, okay? I have teenagers. I know they don't like getting correction. And they need it. But I love this, and to me this speaks the beauty of the church and how when you love somebody and you truly care about what's best for them, the way you correct them is done this way. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Do you get what Solomon was saying there? Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. He'll tell you all the good things because it's for your own destruction. Wounds of a friend, hey, I know this might hurt, but I care for you because ultimately the road you're going down is going to lead to worse hurt. It's a beautiful description then. But now we got to remember you're a friend. You're not trying to wound people in Jesus' name, okay? We can struggle with that sometimes. So in this part then, after Paul describing to the elders and applicable to us how we have to be looking out for our own selves and our own walk in faithfulness, as we look out for one another, walk with one another and help them on their path, he goes on to talk about now that through the Holy Spirit we have been made overseers of the church. Again, for elders, it's an overseer at a higher level. But again, if you are here today, the Holy Spirit has drawn you here and has given you power and strength to serve within the church, meaning you are a representative of the church, so you are also part of the church and thus an overseer. Because we are agents of the kingdom of God, we are representatives of the church universal. And thus, as members of Hope, we are to oversee that the church is ensuring that she looks and functions the way God intended her to do. That is our call here as members of Hope Free Lutheran Church. And in Paul's next sentence, to care for the church of God, Paul isn't talking about Hope, the little church here on North Lake Drive or anything like that. When Paul is saying to care for the church of God, he's not talking about Hope, the country club where we get together and hang out with our friends on Sunday. That part's all wonderful. But when Paul says to care for the church of God, he is talking about the church of God. This is the church universal. The church that he says Jesus Christ obtained with his own blood. You understand how important the church is to God? That Jesus would obtain it with his own blood. Jesus Christ, who came down then to be that new covenant for us, that covenant through his shed blood, through his death on the cross. That's the new covenant that we have. Together then, through that covenant, we are members of one church, that church of God. I hope then that we can always remember that and apply that to ourselves, understand the magnitude and depth of what that means. Because of what Christ has done, your sins are atoned for always. And together then, we get together as one body of Christ, knowing that. So that was our sermon text today, short and succinct, and I loved it because it talked about the functions of the church, how it should look and how it should be. Understanding this is the church that Jesus gave his life for. But that's a general kind of short, succinct verse. How can that look for us? How do we apply that then? How does that affect our everyday lives, right? And that's the part that I want to share this morning. So I don't want to say a man-made doctrine, but stuff that people come up with. I always like try to stay focused on what's God's word teaching. But sometimes you come across something that somebody describes as so well done and so true to biblical teachings that it's like, okay, I'm going to bring that in. And so I had come across this list a few months back in this article I was reading on a pastor and serving his church and what he wants out of his church and such, and it was like this incredible list of like the 10 things that in essence he wants everybody to say after the service to themselves, like, was our church this today? Did our church do these things today? And I'm like, you know what, wouldn't it be incredible if all of our churches after all of our Sunday services looked like this? So I want to talk about these 10 things that this pastor listed. And while this list isn't scripture, I've backed each one he wrote. I've got the scripture verses after it that confirm what he's saying is what the Bible's teaching us. And as I go through this list, this isn't meant to be law. This isn't something we have to adhere to. This is not meant to be a list of a checklist to make sure that you're doing a bunch of them right, and if you don't do enough, I'm going to call you in the week and say, hey, you didn't do number 4 and 8 on the list. What's wrong with you? Instead, the reason I want to talk about this list of 10 things is I want you to hear these and say to yourself, what are some of those that I can do each and every week as part of the church local? What are some things that I can do as a member of Hope Free Lutheran Church to make sure that the church is being the church that Jesus Christ obtained through his blood? For those of you that take sermon notes, I've got this printed out later. I can get this to you so you don't have to feverishly try to write all these down, right? So I'm going to start into this thing now, that these 10 things that I think are great to ask after every service. Number one, and should be number one, was Jesus the focus of our attention? Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Was Jesus the focus of our attention? That should always be number one at a church, always. A pastor hopes every Sunday that the word of Christ would dwell in you richly. We always desire for that. My desire would be that each and every Sunday as you leave, you'd feel closer to God than you ever have before in your life. That you'd think to yourself, boy, I was close to God yesterday, now today I'm even closer. Like every day of your life would be that way. That you would love God more knowing what he's done for you through Christ Jesus. Because with that then comes the teaching and the admonishing, because you want to continue to grow in your relationship with God. It just kind of comes natural. And with that, too, is this heart of thankfulness to God, because, again, you understand through your growing in him what he's done for you in Jesus. And, of course, that thankfulness will naturally produce joy in your heart. Number two on this list of we should ask ourselves at the end of church service, was the Bible taught well? 2 Timothy 4:2 reads, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching." Now, I get that that's kind of up to me, right? I'm the guy up here supposedly teaching this. But I will tell you this much, and this is a great affirmation to what this church stands for. When I first started at this church, I made very clear to the council that I am a new pastor. I was a morning radio DJ before this. So, like, human clown is what defines me. And I said, I'm going to make a lot of mistakes, all right? I'm telling you that right now. And it was so great because I remember they looked me in the eye and they said, well, we made a mistake hiring you. No. It was great. They looked me in the eye and they said, as long as you preach the word of God, we don't care. Right? Do you realize like what a burden that was lifted off me to not try to be the perfect pastor? Because I ain't going to do that. All right? You all know that by now. But instead to have a church body that says, remember reason number one? Hey, pastor, Jesus is the focus of our attention. The clown things you do are not. We'll work on those. But the reality is Jesus is the focus of our attention. So that tells me my responsibility here to serve Hope faithfully is to preach the word of God well. And I can tell you right now, I may have my off Sundays, but the reality is my goal every Sunday up here is to preach the Bible as well as I can. Number three on this list was hope offered to hurting people. 2 Corinthians 1, 3-5, "Blessed be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." I'm going to say this right now, if you understood that. The comfort that you have ever received from God, the comfort that you get when you struggle at times in life and all you can do is lean on God, you know what that's like. Extend that to others. Platitudes do not offer hope. Jesus is our only hope. What that means then is when someone is hurting, be Jesus to them. Number four, did anyone come to faith in Christ? Matthew 28:19-20. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." There's two ways to look at this. Did anyone come to faith in Christ? There's obviously the here and now. Faith in Christ is about believing Jesus Christ as the Son of God, who came down to this earth, lived a perfect life for the purpose of dying on the cross for your sins. Because you, on your own, cannot get yourself into heaven. But through faith in Jesus' blood, he has washed you clean. And if you wrestle with that, if you wrestle fully accepting that, if you think, well, I'll just come here Sunday, that makes it good enough, friends, you have to take that next step of truly believing and understanding what that means. And I'll tell you this right now, and I know as we keep growing in Hope, we get a lot of other folks in from other churches, and they're like, Pastor, you need to do altar calls. And I'm like, that's like so foreign to Lutherans, okay? But I mean, it's not right. I'm just saying, it's like, I don't know how to do that. I'll tell you this right now. If you've ever felt God pulling on your heart and you've been like, what is this? There has to be more to this. I want to learn more. I want to go deeper. You can come see me anytime. You can come up during communion today. When you come up, you just give me this. Big Pastor, come here. I want to learn. I want to be closer to Jesus. I'll take a moment, just pray with you about that. I guarantee the people around you will join you in prayer too, right? The point is, what everybody's desire would be is, if you're just kind of like on the fence about Jesus, that's not good enough. It's giving your heart to Christ and understanding what God has done for you through faith in Jesus. But then the second part of this question is, did anyone come to faith in Christ? Understand this much, friends. In Scripture, the role of the church is to equip the saints for good works. Do you want to know why we keep getting new members? Because you're out telling people about it. It is our job as believers to, as Jesus said in the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations. We can't just sit here and have a big wide open door and say, let the flock come on in. Go and make disciples of all nations. Next thing is, do church members love, serve, and encourage one another? Hebrews 10, 24 to 25, read this, and let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. It's about as straightforward as it gets, right? Stirring one another up in love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, but encouraging one another. And I want to focus for a moment on that word encourage, because that's the key to all of this. When it's all about Jesus, the little stuff doesn't matter. And that's how we encourage one another, to not get hung up on the little stuff. Sometimes we do, we get caught up on the little stuff and it's hard to move forward in life and it's like we're just trudging along. We are to follow Christ's example as he led for his disciples, to follow in him and to encourage one another in doing that. Everyone is deserving of Christ's sacrifice because he died for all. Thus, everyone is deserving of our love, service, and encouragement as we are instructed to do. Number six, we're guests made to feel welcome. This is one of my favorite aspects about Hope, is the fact that when you walk in, you go and get people that are going to come up and talk to you. I'll spare those people calling out their names, but I know I'm going to be looking around at them, right? And I'll see somebody new sit down, and I can tell you within the next 5 seconds, this person will go over and talk to them. And it's amazing because it's true. But listen to how that sounds in the book of Acts, Acts 2, 45 through 47. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. When people feel welcomed, they become part of it, because the church should be immensely welcome. Believers celebrating in God's love and goodness together, sharing that, celebrating that with one another. I was laughing to somebody who was thinking about joining because they came from a church, and I grew up in a church like this too, where you'd stand up before the service and everybody would shake hands, right? And I think that's one of the criteria that got me to take the call here at Hope, because we don't do that. Because I'm that guy that's like, oh, hi, go. You know what I mean? Or I'll like pretend like I got something really important to do. Like if you open your Bible, you don't have to stand up and shake hands. I'm really deep right now in the Word, but thank you, you know? I know that's awful, but it's true. I always struggle with that, okay? I don't know why. But the thing about that is we take that different than just turning around and shaking hands. People here go up and literally care about you. The thing that's amazing that I see people here do, and all of us should do that, if you see somebody new, talk to them. Ask them, hey, what brings you here? Don't you want to know why God called them here this very morning? Because there was a reason for it. And then if they're comfortable enough staying, all right, some of us can be a little overbearing, Gloria. Some of us... If they're comfortable enough, invite them to fellowship afterwards. Invite them to it. Sit them down with you and introduce them to everybody around you. Because what makes you feel like part of the family real quick, then, hey, these are my friends around you as well. This church does that really well. I honestly mean that. But it's so important we're guests made to feel welcome. If you've ever gone into a cold church, you know how that feels. And it's tough. Number 7, is there more excitement about the future than longing for the past? Philippians 3, 13 to 15. Paul writes, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal it to you. And it's a little tricky to find that in the Bible about stop being so hung up on the past and look forward to the future. But that was kind of the big problem that Jesus dealt with the entire time. And I love instead the way Paul addressed it here. Guys, if you have this great hope in front of you of what Jesus has done and you live for that hope, why are you clinging to a past? But I will, again, another great compliment to this church. And I'm totally serious here. In my time here as a pastor, whenever I've heard we've always done things this way, it was always, and I mean that, always followed up with, but if you want to change it, go ahead. Do you know how freeing that is as a church, that we are not so hung up on our old ways? Because old ways, when we're hung up on them, means our focus isn't on Jesus. It's on past traditions. Not that you just disregard the past and go crazy, but it means that our focus isn't on what we've always done it this way. Our focus is on, as long as it's about Jesus, then we're going that direction. And that is so great to know that Jesus is the focus of our attention. Thank you for that. Number 8, were any broken relationships healed? Matthew 5, 23 and 24. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come offer your gift. Those are Jesus' words. Did you pick up on that? First, he said, be reconciled to your brother. Then come to the altar and offer your gift. Jesus is telling you that God's interest is that your heart be right with all. It is hard to worship God with a hardened heart. If your heart is cold to something. And I know I mentioned this already, I think it might even be just 2 weeks ago, but it really stuck with me in our Bible study when we were doing Jonah. When Jonah was pouting and God said, do you do well to be angry? What good does it do to sit there and say, oh, I'm hanging on to that anger because I'm gonna? If that's like the best answer you have, well, I don't want to let it go. It's just a bad answer. What a challenge God gave. Do you do well to be angry? Jesus tells us, go reconcile first. I'm going to tell you this right now, friends. You will be happier by reconciling all relationships because you're letting it go. But most importantly, it is God's desire for you to reconcile all relationships. Number 9, are people more prepared to live for Jesus after having been here? James 1:22, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Cannot emphasize this enough. You being here today is great, but that's not getting you into heaven. You're not getting a punch card that says, great, I was there enough. It's not how it works. The Bible is filled with instructions, friends, for how we are to live a godly life. It's not just a list of, well, I don't do these, so I'm a good person, I'm getting into heaven. It is instructions for the things as well that we are to be doing. James said, if you're only sitting here and hearing the word of God but not doing anything with it, you're deceiving yourself, kind of meaning, well, it's going in one ear and out the other, but that's good enough. And he's saying, no, it's got to go in here, and most importantly, it's got to go in your heart and change you, because you should be compelled to want to follow the word of God. If you've been in our Wednesday Bible study on the minor prophets, it's kind of funny. Somebody joked, they're like, well, which one are we covering next week? It doesn't matter. They're all the same story. And it's funny because it's true, because like all of the minor prophets are talking about the fact that the people have lost their way. They are no longer following the ethics of God. And he's angry with them for that. Well, life's good enough for us, so we'll just pretend to make God happy and do our own thing. And it doesn't work that way. Everyone's going through the motions, but they're just living the exact same lives. Our heart does not reflect the ethical nature of God if we do. Instead, it should transform us. Number 10 in this list, do people want to come back? Acts 9:31. So the church throughout all of Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. Are you seeing the end result there of a faithful church? That last word, it multiplied. Do people want to come back? Well, let's look at the church Jesus, Luke was describing there. He talked about it being one of peace, and that's pretty easy. It's pretty nice to be in a church where you sense peace, because if we're fighting and gossiping and there's every different tribe sits at its own table and nobody's really together, well, that doesn't reflect a healthy body. I don't want to go join an unhealthy body. A healthy body of Christ can do some tremendous work for the kingdom of God. So peace is huge. Are we walking in fear of the Lord? You know what? It goes back to number 1. Is the focus of everything about Jesus? People will know what kind of church that is and want to be there. Because people walk into church doors because they need hope. And there is only hope found in Jesus. Are we reflecting a place of people here who live their lives with the hope in Jesus? It's a fair question. And the comfort of the Holy Spirit, comfort is huge. People are hurting. Are we offering that comfort then that we ourselves receive? And again, that's what Luke had written there about what kind of church God works with when he said it multiplies that kind of a church. So as we close out today, friends, I want to kind of end it on this here. Kind of what triggered this whole sermon idea, besides that I had seen this list that I had said, it was like, that's really good to kind of ask ourselves that after each service. Were these things done with our church service? But what got me on this too is I was talking to our new members beforehand. And they were asking, well, what does it take to be a member of the church? Asking about their roles and responsibilities in the church. And these weren't kind of like, what am I going to have to do? Like, you know, trying to keep a distance. I want to do the bare minimum. It was a question of how can I serve within the church? Where does the church need me? What makes me part of a healthy church? And it got me thinking, and basically there's 6 people that asked that question. But did the rest of us ask ourselves that question this morning as we got ready for church? What is required of me as a member of the church? And I got thinking, when you sit in the mirror in the morning, you're getting ready, do you ever think that? Or is it a matter of, we've forgotten why we're members? Is it a matter of, well, this is just the building that I go to Sunday mornings? I have my ID card and that's good enough. Because really we should be saying to ourselves as members, what am I doing to ensure that hope continues to function as an agent for the kingdom of God? That's why you're a member, because your desire is with this community of people to continue to act as an agent for the kingdom of God. So that's why I kind of wanted to go over that list this morning. These are some tangible things that you can do to apply to your Sunday mornings. This isn't meant to be a checklist. This isn't law. We haven't adopted this to our constitution. You can add others to this. The point is, what are we doing Sunday mornings to ensure that we are being the best possible agent for the kingdom of God that we can be? Because, friend, that's how we build up the church local, which then builds up the church universal, which ultimately then expands the kingdom of God, and that is what it's all about.